a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good steward of God's word. Been called to preach. I want to be a good preacher. But I want to be a good father, especially. And I want to do my best. I want to be the best father I can. I found out today that I'm ahead of the rest of you, though, because I'm the number one dad here, so a little ahead of the rest of you. Actually, I think I've seen a few of those. Okay, Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture this morning and preach a message called The Teaching Father. The Teaching Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to be here. God, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful we have a final authority to go to, written for us to read. And Lord, your Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. And Father, I pray this morning that you'd be with us. God, I pray that you'd direct us. Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you'd direct my words and my thoughts. Father, I pray that you would just meet with us in a special way. God, help us to be good husbands, be good fathers, and help us to be teaching fathers. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Teaching fathers. At the men's meeting, this is kind of a takeoff from the Bible study at the men's meeting. Brother Bruce read a passage of Scripture over in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. I'll read it for you. It says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. And he pointed out how that fathers were an example for their children. And that's a very important point, and the Lord has laid it on my heart this week to preach on that subject, not from the same place, but men ought to be teachers. The Bible instructs men to be teachers. Here in Titus chapter 2, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young man in the Lord, and he's giving him some instruction. And what he's telling him here is that he needs to promote sound doctrine. Now, he's just going over some things in chapter 1 and ended chapter 1 giving a warning about Judaizers or people who are emphasizing the law and legalism and things like that. In fact, if you read up there in, let's read about verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, after having said that, and after having exposed false teaching and false teachers, he says, now Timothy, he says, but, he's going to turn it around, he says, but, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Teach sound things. You don't want to be a teacher of the unsound things. You don't want unfaithful teaching. You want to be found teaching sound things. Sound doctrine. Something is a sound doctrine because it just works out that way. God's worked it out that way. Listen, I'll give you a sound doctrine. I'll give you a sound teaching. Gravity is a... It just works out that way. That if I drop something, it falls down, not up. The other influences on it, it falls down, not up. That's a sound thing. That's a sound thing. It just works out that way. It just works out that way. Whether I say it or not, it works out that way. It's sound. It's sound. Because God's made it that way. Now listen, if I drop something, and without any other influences, any other physical influence, if I drop something and it falls up, then God worked a miracle. Because it opposes what just ought to naturally work, right? If I took something hot, if I took something 200 degrees or hotter, here's a sound doctrine. If I touch something with my skin that's 200 degrees or hotter, I'm going to get burnt. I'm going to get burnt. Listen, if I don't get burnt, then God just worked out a miracle. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They should have burnt up. They should have burnt up. But God worked out a miracle because he intervened. But sound doctrine is just going to work that way because God has established it that way. So there's some things here that Paul has given Timothy that a person just needs to do, needs to teach, and needs to follow because things are going to work out right if they do. And if they don't, things are going to fall apart. Spiritually, they're going to get burnt. Spiritually, they're going to get hurt. Spiritually, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems. And so Paul instructs Timothy, teach these things. Teach sound doctrine. And he begins. He begins. He says this, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. So he begins to teach here. Paul begins to teach Timothy the things that are sound doctrine. And one sound doctrine is this, that men ought to do these things. That aged men ought to be sober, grave, temperate. And we're not going to go through and explain all those things. Some of those words are not words we use often, but none of them so tough you couldn't figure out from a dictionary what they mean. We won't go through all those. We'll look at some things. But he begins to teach Timothy to teach. And then he goes on and he talks to the ladies. I know this is Father's Day, but we won't exclude the ladies in this. There's some things the ladies have to teach as well. Some things that the father needs to teach. Some things the mother needs to teach. There's some things that the older, I mean people that are 53 or older, need to teach. Some of the things that older people need to do, need to teach, older men, and some things that younger men need to learn. Some things that older ladies need to teach, mothers, or just acquaintances, friends, grandmothers, they need to teach. And here's some things that the ladies need to teach. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's a sound doctrine, holiness. A sound doctrine. That's a sound doctrine for the age of grace. We're instructed during the age of grace, scriptures on the age of grace, to perfect holiness. Holiness. Not just women, men. Men and women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. These are things that need to be taught. They need to be taught. I know they need to be taught because Paul is promoting the teaching of them. Listen, why did he list these things if people just learn these things naturally? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. A person needs to be taught the right way to love their husband, to love their children. All these things. Verse 5, to be discreet. Be discreet. We live in an outlandish age, and God wants us to be discreet. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why would the word of God be blasphemed? Because these are things that ought to accompany Christianity. That just sound doctrine that these things ought to accompany Christianity. And when they don't, they oppose sound doctrine and God's blasphemy. God's blasphemy. Because a person picks up this book and he says, this is the way a Christian ought to live, and this is the way Christ lived, and a person's trying to follow Christ, they call themselves a Christian, and they don't do those things that Christ did, and it blasphemes God. Blasphemes God. All right, and then he comes around. Comes around, and he says, the young men likewise exhort. Exhort. Teach them. Exhort this. Promote this to the young men. So there's things that God wants older folks to teach younger folks, men or women. And God has established in His Word that this is a good thing. This is right. It's the way it should be. When things are working right, it's the way it's done. It's sound. It's sound if it's that way. That's because the older have a very, very strong influence on the younger. The older have a very, very strong influence on the younger. Bruce talked about that the other day a little bit. Where is Nate at? Can I borrow your tickle nose? Can I see it just a minute? All right, now very, very tough happened there. You don't just loan that thing to everybody. You don't just loan that thing to everybody. Let me ask you this. No family members here, but what do you see here? Huh? You're wrong. You're wrong. This is a blanket with just one hole in it. Blanket with one hole. Just one hole. Right, Nate? Just one hole. Yeah, that's right. That's a blanket with just one hole. We'll call that a... to it. It's always there for them. It's always there. And they don't find anything. You know, never stinks. Never needs to be washed. Never, ever. It's just perfect. And you know what? I have a little boy who feels just the same about his father. He don't see any holes. Don't see any problems. Maybe just one hole. But does things right. Always, always just sees things just fine. One of the greatest things. I've already had a good Father's Day. I had a good Father's Day yesterday. I was laying on the couch after supper a little bit. Just come up, just rub my arm. Rub my arm. Just laying there. Just come up, rub my arm just for a few minutes. When we love somebody, we want to be with them. We want to be close to them. We want to touch them. When we love somebody, it's easy, easy to see that. And when we love somebody, we look up to them, and we are influenced greatly by them. Whether that's right, or whether it's wrong. Whether we're influenced for the right, for the good, for sound doctrine, or whether we're influenced for the wrong, the lewd, the easy, the comfortable. Whichever. We're influenced. We're heavily influenced. The Bible says this in Job chapter 12 and verse 12. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. The older have an influence on the younger. And one of the reasons that the older should have an influence on the younger, and one of the reasons that the older should teach the younger, is because the older has more experience, more understanding, more wisdom than the younger. The older has seen things that the younger's not yet experienced. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. And so God wants the older to teach the younger. You are teaching the younger something. You are. Every second, every minute, you're around them, and they're around you. You're teaching them something. You've either taught them that it's right to be faithful and good, and to serve the Lord, and that God's Word's important, not just in word, but in deed, because I pick it up and read each day, that prayer is powerful and important and it accomplishes something, not because I just say it is and because it's a good thing to preach, but because daily I'm found going to God in prayer. You're teaching them good things, or you're teaching them that church isn't important, the book's not important, winning souls aren't important, it's more important what you get in this life for yourself. You're teaching them something. Every minute, every day, every second. Teach them. And let me say this. They're not going to find any holes. They're not going to find any problem. They're going to be okay with it. Whatever you find is important. At least for some time, they will. And you are shaping what is normal for them with your actions, with my actions. We're shaping what's normal. We're shaping. Is church something that you get up and you take a vote on? Are we going to go do? Is church that you something that you go down the priority list and say, now where does it fit in today? Or is it just a given? Is it just an absolute given that we wouldn't be anyplace else but in here this morning on Father's Day? It's a given. Needs to be. That'd be sound. We're teaching. We're teaching every moment of every day. In verse 6, here's some things. I'll give you some things I think that are contained in verse 6, 7, and 8. Certainly are contained in the Scripture. Some things that men have not been taught in the last few generations, I'll say. I'm not just going to pick on this generation. In the last few generations. Things that men, young men, are not being taught or haven't been taught. Turn to Psalms 119 and verse 9. Psalms 119 and verse 9. One of the things that men aren't being taught is the value of a clean life. The value of a clean life. Now, I'm not talking particularly about hygiene here. I'm talking about the value of a life that is clean as far as spiritual things are concerned, clean as far as moral things go, clean as far as standards go. And those standards need to be scriptural standards. Here in Psalms 119 and verse 9 it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Here's how. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I said at the beginning that I have a desire to be a good father, be a good husband. Listen, I have a desire also to cleanse myself on a daily basis from these scriptures. I have a desire to do that. Do I always pick this thing up every day? Have there been days I've missed? I've missed. But I have a desire, and it is my routine on a daily basis, to pick this book up, to read it. Not just for all being a good example, but because I need it. I need it. Why? So I might cleanse my ways. You know what happens to a person when they put this book aside? None of their sins seem as sinful as they are. None of the unrighteousness is as filthy as it used to be. Everything begins to blend and to become gray and to become questionable. And you can justify anything if you just don't check it out under the magnifying glass, under the microscope of this word. If you just do whatever feels good today, you can justify anything. Any Christian can justify anything. In fact, they'll even use a few scriptures to do it. Out of context. But, here it is. It's the word. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How many of you men in here, now I'm going to ask this in a way it won't be too embarrassing. How many men in here right now, get ready to stretch your legs a little bit. How many men in here would stand up and testify just by standing up that you have a desire to cleanse your life by reading the Word on a daily basis? I'm not saying you do. I'm saying you have a desire. Do you think the Word's important enough that you ought to read it on a daily basis? Will you stand up? All right, now you young people look around. These men think that reading the Bible is important enough that they ought to do it on a daily basis. They think that. Man, I hope you're honest. I hope you're honest. And you ought to remember this week. If you're honest, you ought to remember this week. It's important to read the Word on a daily basis. You can sit down. It's important. It cleanses us. and it sets a right example. Another thing that young men aren't taught clearly enough this day is in Ecclesiastes 11:9. Ecclesiastes 11:9. We're not taught. Even in most churches are not taught the certainty of judgment. The certainty of the fact that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. The certainty of the fact that what we do, the things that we engage in, our actions today, will be judged at a later time. The certainty of that thing. Listen, if a person's not certain of that, they'll do anything. They'll do anything. You know how to teach a person to live like an animal? I mean, absolutely. Teach them that they came from the animals, that there is, they're just surviving. Just carnal nature. You just expect that there's a judgment coming, or there's even one out there that could judge. You take away that prospect, have a lifestyle that is like a beast. It's like Nebuchadnezzar crawling through a field, like a beast, like a beast. Here in Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, know this. Listen, young man, know this. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So, go ahead, do it. Go on, do what comes into your heart. But know this. God's going to judge it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to fall under the judgment? Or are you going to stay away from things that are questionable, things that are unrighteous, things that aren't right, and not have the need to be judged for it? Or have those things judged good? The next thing, 1 Timothy chapter 4. These aren't anything, this isn't Eureka. But listen, we have a lack of knowledge in this country on these things. One is the value of a clean life. Next one, the certainty of judgment. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the power of personal influence. How powerful our testimony is to those around us. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. So live a way that people aren't going to despise how you live. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. How? In word, in conversation, that's your lifestyle, in charity, that's how you demonstrate love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We have an influence. These things that are mentioned here, you're able to influence in the right direction or the wrong direction. Powerfully. They have a powerful draw. Listen, there's no greater testimony. There's no greater soul winner than a person that people can see Jesus Christ in their lives. All the words, all the arguments, all the quote verses won't make up for a person actually seeing Christ in them, the hope of glory. Now listen, we still need a witness. And if people still can't see Christ in you, it's still the right thing to witness and all that. I'm just saying there's no greater soul winner than a person that people can see Christ in them in the first place. That he's made a difference. That he's set up home inside of them. And he's changing them and making them grow. The power of personal influence. We're going to teach something. Turn over to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 6:3. Here's what an unfaithful father teaches. Here's what an unfaithful person teaches. Here's the fruit of it. You want to know the fruit of bad teaching? Here it is. and you can see it, I can see it, and it's ugly and we don't like it, but here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, other than sound doctrine, if you look at the context, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what kind of words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Listen, if a man's life teaches something else besides those things that are according to godliness, or according to God's way, or according to righteousness, here's what happens. Here's the fruit of it. He is proud. He's proud. Why does a faithful man quit following God? Because he's proud. He becomes proud. He don't need God, or God's not been on his side, or God hadn't catered to him. He's proud. Knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words. Strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And here's another fruit. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Listen, here's some things that stand out in this passage of Scripture for me. For me. If a person won't live faithfully, they're demonstrating that they're too proud to follow God. They're demonstrating a desire to strive over words, to fight over words. And their focus is changed to the material, to the financial, and away from the spiritual. That's the way I see it from this chapter, or from this verse. That's the way I see it. You know what? Men are easy to talk to. Wouldn't you agree? Melissa, wouldn't you agree with that? Men are easy to talk to. Men are easy to talk to. Becky, men are easy to talk to, right? Yeah. Listen, men are easy to talk to. If you ask them about the right subject. Come out to the rabbit barn sometime. The goat barn. Men are easy to talk to. I've picked on Brian there a little bit. Let me tell you this. Brian's easy to talk to. You just talk to him about the power of God to transform a life. The power of witness. The power of going and talking to your co-workers or friends or family or loved ones about the Lord. Men are easy to talk to if you get them on the right subject. On the right subject. Now listen, you're not going to get a long conversation from them when you say, I'd like to eat tonight. Anything. Doesn't matter. You know, there's a difference between men and women on that. If I say anything, or if I say anything, what would you like? Well, anything's fine with me. Well, my anything means this. After my chompers get done chomping it, after it passes through my intestines and gets mashed and pushed along, after the stomach acids dissolve it, it all ends up pretty much the same in the draw. Anything. It doesn't matter. Eat it. I'll eat it. Put it on the table. I'll eat it. Now, what am I going to pay for it when most people, I won't pay for this. Or anything. What they mean is, could you name a few things, and if it sounds right, that anything will work. All right? There's just a difference there. A difference. When a woman asks, which dress should I wear? The blue one or the green one? And you say the blue one, okay, they want more information than that. But I'm thinking, you know, if I put this text and this code in this program at work, it will take care of this. The blue one will be fine. And, you know, if the routine comes out, or, you know, if I put that, how am I going to put that trim on so it don't ruin the looks of that whole thing I just working on? The blue one's fine. And you're thinking also, it doesn't matter if I pick the blue one or the green one, whichever one I say, they're going to wear the other one. Okay? Men and women are different. But listen, you find a man, And he'll talk to you about what is important to them. They'll do it. They'll do it. You ask the most uneducated trucker in the world, you ask the most uneducated trucker in the world what NAFTA is going to do to them, and you'll get a half-hour speech. You will. You ask a farmer what this mad cow disease, what the impact that's going to be on the beef market, you're going to get it. You're going to hear something, learn something. Pick the right subject. Right subject. Now listen, man, what's the right subject? What's the right subject? When somebody brings up this book, is this something you're too proud to talk about because you may not look as smart as they do? You may not know as much scripture as they do? Are you too proud to talk there and just listen and learn? Listen and learn? These talk radio shows, they have some of the craziest things. But, you know, even in the wee hours of the moment, you get men getting on there spouting off about this, and they'll go on and on until the guy has to hang up on them, get them off the line. What about this book? Anybody have to hang up on you because of this book? Anybody have to say, now listen, Dale, we want to be friends, and we got to work together every day, but... can you just lay off that Bible thing? That ever happen? Ever happen? Needs to. You get on the right subject. You get on the right subject. Ought to happen. What are you teaching? The responsibility of the younger. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. You know what will happen if a person's not faithful to teach sound doctrine through their life, to their children, to their loved ones? They're going to demonstrate pride. They're going to easily fight over words, strife over words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. And they're going to suppose that gain is godliness. Are you teaching those around you the importance of gain, the importance of material things? Are you teaching those around you the importance of serving God, knowing God, obeying God, loving God? Which? Young eyes are watching. What they see will formulate what's normal for them. Clean living, certain judgment, and the power of personal testimony as an influence is underemphasized. And the fruit of the unfaithful life is pride, strife, envy, covetous greed. Now, which direction you want to go? Because you're going to go one or the other. Which direction you want to go? God's looking for faithful men. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You don't have any trouble finding people that will pat themselves on the back and talk about how good they've done and what all they've accomplished. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be faithful teachers. We want to be fathers that teach. Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to teach sound doctrine and right things and clean living. And Lord, recognize the importance of an influence, of our influence on others. God, I pray that you would speak to each of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to communicate those things that are important to us from the Scripture. God, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to read your Word and study it. Father, we pray that you'd renew our faith and prayer. Lord, that you would renew our faithfulness and serving you and going out onto the street, knocking on doors, or just being a faithful witness at work or at home. Lord, we just pray that you'd guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray that you'd help the older of us to teach the younger, and the younger to learn from the older. Father, I pray that the men in this church would teach the younger through a right example, and that the ladies in this church would teach the younger ladies through a right example, through a word of encouragement, through a word fitly spoken. God, that they give instruction and light Lord, I pray that you'd help our young people, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Lord, help them to draw closer to you. Lord, help them to find your word important. Lord, help them not to learn their lessons from this life, but from your word. Lord, help them not to get their experience in a hospital, in a jail, in wrong places. God, help them to get their experience through this book and through fellowshipping with folks who love clean living and recognize the certainty of judgment. And Lord, are under the right influence. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.